Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Outsmarting Infertility Podcast. A patient inquired with me about unexplained infertility and asked if she has a diagnosis of unexplained infertility, does that mean everything's okay and that there's no any issue that we have to worry about? And I think there's a little bit of a misconception when it comes to the idea of unexplained infertility. Unexplained infertility does not necessarily mean that nothing is wrong, because if you've been trying for years and you're not successfully conceiving, there's obviously something going on. So when we look at a diagnosis of unexplained infertility, all this is really telling us is that we haven't quite figured out what's causing the issue yet, but there is something. And so a lot of patients feel frustrated, and rightfully so, because they obviously want to try and conceive, and they feel like they're not getting answers often. And if they ask certain healthcare providers, they're told that, well, we did the test and everything's fine, therefore there is no issue, and we just have to do X fertility treatment, and we keep trying until it works. I believe that when a patient is given a diagnosis of unexplained infertility, there's a obligation and there's a responsibility there on part of the healthcare provider and the patient to both work together to help figure out what else might be going on. And so over the last few years, we've been seeing more and more research on different, almost we'll call them hidden causes, potential causes for infertility. So there are conditions that might not impact a large variety of patients, but it can impact a large number of potentially patients that have been diagnosed with unexplained infertility. So these more uncommon or less likely to occur conditions than general population may actually be much more common in a population of patients that are experiencing unexplained infertility. And some of these conditions are things that have been just hiding under our nose. And we're seeing research over the last few years about these conditions, and it's time we talk about them more openly. And for patients where everything is quote-unquote normal, it's important to start looking at these additional potential contributing factors that might just be reducing chances of conception per cycle naturally or with assisted reproductive technologies. So the condition that's gaining a lot of traction right now is related to the thyroid, and we're seeing a couple of different conditions with the thyroid. In general, the thyroid can be classified. Thyroid conditions can be classified into two different categories. So one is hyperthyroid and one is hypothyroid. So hyperthyroid is when the thyroid starts to make an abnormal amount of excess thyroid hormones. And hypothyroidism is when the thyroid starts to make an abnormal number of low thyroid hormones. So we're not getting enough of the thyroid hormones. When we're looking at hypothyroidism specifically, there's a very common test that's run. It's called thyroid stimulating hormone, or for short, TSH. And this is a hormone that's produced from the pituitary gland. And this hormone travels through the blood from the pituitary gland to the thyroid, and it tells the thyroid to produce more of this hormone. So it's kind of like putting the foot on the gas of a car. It's kind of telling it to speed up and start producing more hormones. So what happens when the thyroid isn't making enough of the hormone? The body will start to put its foot on the gas, so to speak. So it'll try and produce more of this TSH, and it'll tell the thyroid to try and pick up the pace and try and make more of this thyroid hormone. So what happens when a patient has an elevated TSH but a normal level of thyroid hormones? So this is something that is diagnosed or being classified as subclinical hypothyroidism. So just to break that down, subclinical meaning the patient isn't actually having any symptoms, but when we do the blood work, we're seeing that the TSH is higher than what it should be, and as a result, the body's producing more thyroid hormone, so the thyroid hormone is actually normal. So it's starting to signal that the thyroid might be moving into that hypothyroid territory. So subclinical hypothyroidism is something that's been talked about in research, and sometimes we see studies that, well, has no impact on fertility, And then we see other studies showing that it has a huge impact on potential success rates, live birth rates, etc. And overall, when we're looking at the results of a very new systematic review that looked at a combination of all the latest studies, we're seeing that the researchers are suggesting that the vast majority of research is finding that a diagnosis of subclinical hypothyroidism is associated with decreased or more negative outcomes with fertility treatments and pregnancy. And specifically, with IVF, in vitro fertilization, or ICSI, intracytoplasmic sperm injection, we're seeing that having subclinical hypothyroidism is associated with potentially lower live birth rates, lower quality embryos, and we're seeing that if a patient has an elevated TSH, it's estimated in some of these studies that they might have up to 50% less high quality follicles on retrieval compared to patients that had a normal or optimal level of TSH. So TSH is something like whatever is considered normal can vary quite a bit. And a lot of the research and guidelines are now suggesting that for pregnancy, so in early pregnancy, the TSH should be below 2.5 for patients. And for the second and third trimester, ideally it should be 3.0. And this is where some of the controversy starts to pick up, because technically if it's not above 4.5 or 5, no treatment is initiated. And what we're seeing in some of these studies is that if a TSH is higher in that range, it can actually potentially be associated with an increased risk of miscarriage as well. So in this particular systematic review where they looked at a lot of this new research, what they found was that treating subclinical hypothyroidism with thyroid hormone treatment during IVF or ICSI was actually associated with a higher embryo quality and better follicle production and a higher live birth rate. And thyroid hormones, we know from other research, have very important roles in the body, and particularly for fertility. We know that thyroid hormones have a very important role in helping with the development and maturation of an egg. It has a very important role in hormone production, particularly progesterone production. And it also has a very important role in trophoblastic differentiation. Trophoblastic differentiation is responsible for the development of the placenta. So very important roles for the thyroid hormone there. And so looking at this new research, we're seeing that, you know, patients that might have subclinical hypothyroidism but aren't be treating might actually be at a significant disadvantage for a lot of these fertility outcomes and parameters that are being measured. And there's another condition we look at that is getting a closer look in research, and it's called thyroid autoimmunity. So there are two particular antibodies for the thyroid that can be tested. So we have the anti-thyroid peroxidase antibody, and we have the anti-thyroglobulin antibody. So these are, they're basically two markers for autoimmune conditions of the thyroid. And what we're seeing in the research is even if a person has a healthy level of TSH, if they have a healthy level of thyroid hormone, but these antibodies are high, either one or both, there's actually a higher risk associated with that with a risk of miscarriage. So if the thyroid antibodies are higher, the risk of miscarriage tends to be higher as well. And we're seeing an association there, a correlation more specifically. So we haven't established causation, but we are seeing this trend. And we're seeing that if we give patients thyroid hormone treatment as well, in that case, the risk of miscarriage for that group of patients that's being treated is equivalent to someone that doesn't have an autoimmune thyroid condition. So that risk for miscarriage goes down in this research we're seeing with the treatment of thyroid autoimmunity, with thyroid hormones. So this is something that needs to be looked at on a case-by-case basis, because even the autoimmunity, the antibody levels can vary so much. And the levels do matter, because if the thyroid antibody levels are higher, it's actually it's highly suggestive that the patient is more likely to go into hypothyroidism at some point. And the higher the antibody levels, we see the higher the TSH levels. So the levels of those antibodies can make a big impact. And we do see occasionally where those antibody levels can fluctuate. And there is new research looking at how even the gut microbiome may actually impact the autoimmunity and may impact conditions like thyroid autoimmunity specifically. So sometimes patients see those levels of the antibodies come down as well. But subclinical hypothyroidism and thyroid autoimmunity are two potential conditions we need to be looking more closely at, especially for patients that have unexplained infertility. The information covered in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a replacement for medical consultation or medical advice. Please speak with your licensed healthcare provider prior to making any changes to your treatment plan and/or medications. Thank you.